Adjusted for Pastor Jimmy. It is good to be with you today here in Huntington. I'm grateful to be here. And so, you know, it's we were talking just a minute ago. I think that several said, well, is your dad preaching? And my girls went, I don't know. They just get in the car. We never know where we're going to end up. So sometimes I show up and I don't know that I'm preaching, but today I did. And so that works out well. If you would turn with me in your Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. It is always a blessing to be here with you all at New Life. And what a blessing it is to just hear about the great things that God's doing in the life of your church. And over the last few days, been able to keep up with Jimmy and Carla and their travels. And so we talk often, and know he's anxious to get back and on the ground. And it's a good time for him to get away and just be able to reflect. And so it's good. So I count it an honor and a privilege to be able to be here, especially when the pastor's not here. That tells you they may trust you just a little bit. And so I'm grateful for that as well. I count them as some dear friends. And Pastor Jimmy and I have the opportunity to spend quite a bit of time together. And it is always good. This morning, I want us to look at Noah. I want us to look at some of his characteristics. And I know we can read the whole book of Genesis, and we can find out that Noah messed up. Don't we know that? Noah messed up. But here's what I like about Noah, and I have in common with Noah, and you have in common with Noah, is that we have all messed up. Okay, three or four of you are nodding your head with me. The rest of you, haven't we all messed up in our lives? And so there's a beautiful story. There's a beautiful truths that are found in this passage of Scripture that I want us to look at today. And I just want us to start with chapter 6 and verse number 8. And I want us to just look at, dive into some principles that I believe that Noah can teach us this morning. So Genesis chapter number 6, and I want to just read verse number 8 and 9. Let's do that, all right? It says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Verse 9 says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God." Let's just pray right there. Father, I come to you today and I thank you for, Lord, just the opportunity to come and to stand and just to proclaim your word. And Father, I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for the impact that they're having on this region, Father. Lord, I thank you for the impact they're even having around the United States. Father, I pray your blessings upon them, your provisions for them. Father, I pray protection from, Lord, even the enemy. Lord, we know that even today as we gather that Satan hates that we're here. He hates that ministry that goes on in this place. And so, Father, I pray that you would be magnified in what you can do and not what they can do. Father, I pray you would do more than what they can do. And Father, that I know this body of believers, they'll give the honor and the glory and the praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that as we dive into God's Word and we look at the principles that we find even in these chapters, God, that you will help remind us that you are God. You are in control. You have got this. So Father, I pray that, Lord, we'll put everything aside today. Lord, many of us have got worries and stresses. We've got problems on the outside. There are things we're dealing with. But Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would move and work among us, that we might know that we have met in this place, that we might worship you, not to hear some words from a preacher, but that we might hear something that would fall fresh off the lips of our Heavenly Father. Lord, it's more than just getting a sermon. It's more than just paying penance today, Father. It is that we would enter into the presence of a holy God. Lord, bless us and bless our time in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, as I begin to think about our time together, there was something that just was laid on my heart. Have you ever, there are times that God just makes something so real and so relevant to you. And I'm grateful for those times. And as I began to pray and study, there were a lot of things that came to my mind that I felt like I may preach. But then God literally just said, here it is. And I'm grateful when he hands a sermon to me, especially his mouthpiece, because I'm just overwhelmed that he uses me. But in this passage of Scripture, I want us to look at some of the Noah principles. And I want to ask you these questions. Do you have these Noah principles? They are principles that we can learn from. They are principles that we can draw from. And I think it seemed like there's a lot of people thinking about Noah right now with all the rain. I mean, there's a lot of people building boats with all the rain that's going on, flooding that's going on even south of us. That rain that is happening. But let me just ask you a few questions this morning as we get started. Are you waiting on the rain to stop? Are you waiting on the rain to stop? I mean, a lot of times in our lives, we are waiting on the rain to stop before we advance and we do anything anymore. We're waiting on the rain to stop. Let me give you an illustration. How many of us have maybe pulled into a parking lot, whether we're going to the grocery store, whether we're going to our work, or maybe we're waiting to go inside of our own home, but yet our vehicles are parked on the outside, and as we pull up, the rain just begins to happen. So what do? We say, well, maybe the rain will slow down just a little bit, right? Anybody like that? So we wait for the rain to slow up. Anybody like that? Anybody do that? I mean, the other day I was sitting there and I drove into work and it was raining. I was there at the office and I sat outside and I was sitting and it just, I said, I'll just wait. Because I had bags to carry. I'd taught a class that night. Literally, I had a projector bag. I had my bag with all my Bibles and my notes and my notebook and all that. I had a projector screen that I needed. I mean, I was loaded to the gills. And I thought, I'll just wait just a little while. Well, let me tell you something. The longer I wait, the worse the rain got. Anybody ever notice that? If you wait, it's kind of like waiting on the teapot to boil. That was what I was waiting on. And it just kept coming down harder. Let me ask you a question this morning. What would have happened if Noah would have waited for the rain to stop? We wouldn't be here. What would have happened if he would have said, you know what, I'll just wait till situations get a little bit better? We wouldn't be here today. Listen, Noah was smart enough, first of all, that he devised a plan to get out of the rain. Let me say this. God gave Noah the plan to get out of the rain. Noah was smart enough to get into the dry where it might. Listen, today there is this movement, if you will, that is going on that the rain is coming down, and yet they're not smart. The people are not smart enough to get out of the rain. Let me just dig into that for just a little bit. Sometimes in churches, what happens is that God has provided the way, and yet the church, the children of God, kind of back away from what it is that God wants in their life. Let me just dig a little bit deeper into that even still. The reality is this, that many times God has made provision for us in our lives, and yet we do not go down that road. I know that the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. Those that do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, if they leave this world lost and without Christ, we know that hell is their eternity. Listen, there is a the truths throughout the entire Word of God that teach us that if we as children of God will follow and walk in His ways, that He will bless us and He will prosper us and He will give us not only the needs of our life, but the Bible says in the book of Psalms 37, even the desires of our heart. God has made a way, but sometimes we don't even get out of the rain. We don't even get out of the rain. You see, the forecast of rain did not stop Noah from advancing. The forecast of a storm did not stop Noah from advancing. Just yesterday, there was a project around the house that needed to be done, and I thought, you know what, I need to get that done. And I looked at the forecast, and we were in a green bubble all day long. And that on the forecast, that means rain's coming. But it was amazing as I began that process that before it was all said and done, that the clouds came over and there was a little bit of sprinkle. But today I'm happy to say that the project is finished. And why? Because listen to me today. We cannot, as a church of a living God, allow the surroundings of the world dictate the dedication of our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't allow that to happen. It can't happen in our life. And so, aren't you glad that a little rain didn't stop Noah? I am, because I'm here in this place today. Now, again, let me give you a disclaimer. And all of this is painting the picture so we can get to the points and I believe those principles that Noah taught us. But the disclaimer today is this, that in no way, shape, or form was Noah perfect. We know that in God's Word. We realize that in God's Word. We can go there to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11 and verse number 7, and we can realize that even in the faith chapter, Noah was there, but Noah was a man, if you will, that was willing to follow God, but even in the latter part, even he messed up. But here's what I want us to grasp this morning as well. Matthew 5, chapter number 5 and verse 45 says this, that it rains on the just as well as the unjust. It rains on the just as well as the unjust. And so I need to lay all of those that foundational work this morning so that we can go to work in this passage of Scripture. This morning I ask you this question. What keeps you from doing what God has called you to do? Does feeling bad, does a headache, does a little rain. It amazes me as God allowed me to pastor a couple churches and then into this role that He's placed me in today. It was amazing sometimes when I'd hear the stories of why some people did not serve the Lord, and I thought to myself, what in the world? Are you kidding me? Have you not read the Word of God? Did you not know that Noah went through this flood? That people, listen, they mocked him because he's building a boat. They ridiculed him because what are you doing? What are you building this great grand structure for? And all that he could say is, I've heard the forecast. Rain's coming. But it didn't stop him from doing what he was called to do. Here's some principles that I want us to look at. In chapter 6, verse number 8 and verse number 9, I want to read it again. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. And Noah was a just man, a perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. If there's anything that ought to be said about us, that ought to be said about you, that should be said about us, that should be said about you, it is verse number 9 there. And the latter part of that, and what is that? That Noah walked with God. Can you imagine that kind of statement about you? Can you imagine we have lost one of the greats probably that our world has ever known, even this past week in Billy Graham, Reverend Billy Graham. And there are some amazing things that had happened in his life, but the greatest thing that could ever happen in his life was that it is said that he was a man that walked with God. What a great quote that even I heard roll off the lips of his own grandson, William Graham, as he spoke personally to the group that I was in. And he made that statement. He said, if ever the news comes on and it says that Billy Graham has died, you understand that that is the greatest lie that has ever been told in the world, because he is alive more today than he's ever been in his life. Man, I tell you today, we can rejoice in that. But here's what I want you to know, that what an awesome testimony that Noah had as well, that Noah walked with God. People knew he walked with God. As they walked by that boat, they looked and said, Noah's just walking with God. He's crazy, but he's walking with God. I don't understand it, but he's walking with God. It doesn't make sense, but he's walking with God. It doesn't add up financially, but he's walking with God. Hear me today, the world doesn't understand when people begin to walk with God. It doesn't make sense to society, but it doesn't matter what society thinks. They're not our judge. They're not our rule. They're not our God. It is that we walk with God. And if y'all not careful, I'm going to preach up here this morning. I'm going to unloose some Kentucky on you, and I'm just going to have a fit this morning. Listen, if there's anything that is said about us, it ought to be that man, that woman walks with God. And if anything that I want to be noted with, it's not that I was a loud hillbilly Kentucky preacher, but listen, that I walk with God. That you walk with God. If Huntington is to know New Life, the only thing that matters is that they would know that church walks with God. It doesn't always make sense to the world, but they walk with God. Hear me. That, listen, we get so caught up in what a few hundred years matters, but what matters most is that God looks on and says, you're walking with me. You're walking with me. Man, what a testimony. Can you imagine if that was the writings on his tombstone? Noah, Dash, he walked with God. Can I tell you something today? That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. I don't. What else do you need? You walk with God. All the earthly relationships are important, but he got it right. He walked with God. This morning, I believe we need to have that first principle, and that is this. Put your name there. Do you walk with God? Second thing that I want us to look at is in verse number 14 through verse number 16. Listen what it says in that same chapter. It says, and make an ark of gopher wood, rooms shall thou make, and the ark, and shall pitch it within, and without the pitch, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it, and the length of the ark 300 cubits, and the breadth 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits, and a window shalt thou make to the ark, and the cubits thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, and lower, second, the third, the story shalt thou make it. And you're thinking, I don't understand. We're just quoting dimensions. I know, but here's what I want us to look at as well. And a lot of times we don't think about this, but here's a principle that I believe that Noah taught us as he followed the Lord, and that is this, that Noah listened to the details. He was about the details. Too many times we live in a world, and especially a church world, that it is, well, it just happens. I want you to know that worship this morning didn't just happen. The songs you sang this morning didn't just happen. Somebody chose those. The lights aren't on this morning because somebody just flipped them on. Somebody had to pay the bills. Amen, Scott? I mean, somebody had to pay the bills. It didn't just happen. It's not clean here this morning because it just happened. It is because somebody made that happen. It is not that you had Sunday school this morning and Bible study. It is because somebody made that happen. They are concerned about the details. We have to work on the details. I find that my role, even though that we're almost at 40 churches in this region, here's what I find that a lot of my time is spent on. It is about the details, because we need to be people about the details. And what is the details? Here is what I believe the details were. He walked with God. That was the greatest detail. I'm going to follow. God said it needs to be this many cubits long, so it will be. Needs to be this many cubits wide, so it will be. This many cubits tall, so it will be. Well, why does that matter? You try building a boat that pushes away water without getting the details right, and I tell you what you got a bathtub shortly. Amen? Y'all get that? I mean, I just miscut the length of that board just a little bit. No, but go ahead and slap it up on there and we'll just caulk it up. Some of you guys that know construction know what I'm talking about. Vinyl siding and caulk don't work on arcs. Amen? It doesn't work on boats. Why? Because that ship will sink, my friends. Details matter. In the church, details matter. We need to look, listen to me, listen. We ought to make the church work the most meticulous and detailed thing we do all week long. If God has called me to teach a class, I'm going to prepare like Billy Graham is sitting in the Sunday school room. Say, oh my goodness, preacher, are you serious? I'm serious about it. This morning as I gathered together these notes this past week and I looked at it, I said, Lord, let me, especially as I got to that point, be about the detail. Let me pour myself in to that verse. But then, God, allow yourself to pour into me and through me into the people because it's about the details. Noah walked with God. He listened to the details. Then in verse number 18, listen to what it says. Chapter number 6 and verse number 18 says, but with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. What was that? Because of his faithfulness, he found favor in the eyes of God. There were a lot of church members. No, the Bible says that he looked to and fro and he couldn't find anybody faithful. But Noah stuck out. He found favor with God because he stuck out. Here's what I want you to notice about that verse. His family was blessed not because of what they had done, but because of what Noah had done. Your family is blessed through your faithfulness today. Your family is blessed through your faithfulness, but let me say this as well. If our faithfulness is not there, there's a real problem that happens following that unfaithfulness. Noah found favor with God. I don't know about you, but if there's any favor I want it of God. It is a blessing to have favor among men. We can read about that with Jacob and that he wrestled with man all night and finally he said, you bless me. And finally that man of God said, turn me loose. He said, I'm not turning you loose until you bless me. But the Bible said not only did God bless him, and did he give him favor with God, but the Bible said, I'll give you favor with man as well. I don't know about you, but that is so important. But the key is this, the favor with God. Do you have favor with God? How do I know that? Are you walking with God? And is God showing up in such a way that only he gets the glory? Does he do things in your life that you look at and go, I couldn't have done that. There's no way that was me, that was God. That's favor in the eyes of God. That's favor. Over the past week, there's been some things even transpired in my family's life, and some things and some opportunities that have been brought away. And I just have to step back and look at that passage of Scripture and say, listen, it is favor with God, because I couldn't have ever dreamt that up. It is the hand of an Almighty God. Do you have favor with God? Fourthly, it is this. Verse number 19, it says these words, "And every living thing, and two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, and keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female fowls of the every kind of cattle, and their kind and creeping thing of the earth, and after his kind, and two of every sort shall come unto thee, and keep them alive, and take thou unto thee all the food that is eaten, and there thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." I know it sounds like you're ordering a meal there, but here's what it's all about. Noah listened and he planned for the provision. Many times we get busy doing what we get busy doing, and we fail to plan for the provision. God said, here's what I need for you to be doing, and this is what you need to do to sustain while you're there. And so Noah got about that provision and he planned that out. I want you to know that, again, it doesn't just happen. Things don't just happen. We must plan those things out. We must dig in deep on those details and then watch God provide for those things. I've seen it so many times when we were even building a building there where I pastored before. And I can remember as we got to some areas that we knew that it was bigger than us, and we said, oh God, how can you make this happen? And we wrote out beside of it, this is God's, this is God's, this is God's. And never, listen, it never failed. God showed up, God showed up, God showed up. What was it all about? Because we were diligent with the details and we began to plan things out. Watch what happened. God said, because of your faith, I'll bless you. Because of the faith of Noah, he blessed them. I don't know if you know this about the rest of the story, but this, they didn't go hungry on the boat. Their needs were met. The boat settled on dry ground. Details. They planned. And verse number 6, chapter number 6, verse 22, listen. And Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so did he. Look what it says in chapter number 7 and verse number 5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Let me ask you this question today. Are you obedient? Are you obedient? The principle of Noah's was this, obedience. I'm obedient. Do you think that he understood it? No. I heard a pastor one time say, and he used this passage of Scripture. It was a conversation between Noah and God. Noah, I want you to build an ark. Sure, God. What's an ark? Noah, rain's coming. Okay, God. What's rain? See, in this day, in this age, the water came from below. God changed everything that day, at that moment. But he was obedient. God, I don't get it, but I'll be obedient. Have you ever been in your life where you just didn't get it? Anybody? Everybody? I don't get it. Oh God, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't see the big picture. And I'm sure God just sitting up there chuckling going, no, you don't. You don't see the big picture. You just seeing this much of the big picture. Trust me. Trust me. Those of you that have children, isn't that an amazing thing? Isn't it an amazing thing to have children, and then you got trying to explain to them something that you, before you even begin, you know, they're not going to get this. They're not going to understand this. But then they ask more questions. What about this and what about that? We've got one in our house, and she is the worrier, Abigail. Today we're coming to church, and what church? How many? Are you preaching? How long? Children's church. I mean, 52 questions before we even got here about that. She wants to know the details. The other one, she was born in the wrong era. I believe she's a hippie. I really do. I mean, she just easy come, easy go. But I think that sometimes God looks down at us and we begin to ask and ask and ask and ask, and we begin to just want to know all the details, and God says, I can't give them to you all because you're not going to get it anyway. Trust me. Just like a child, you won't believe it. That's right. You're not going to believe it if I told you the whole story anyway. You're not. Some of the things that I would think about in my life, that if God would have told me the whole story, I would have gotten afraid, hid in a corner, and never came out of my room. Amen? I mean, that's what God can do. But I'm grateful that as we need the information, God gives us the information. We made the mistake a few years ago of telling our children that we were going on vacation 2 weeks, 3 weeks in advance. They never slept, and none of us did either. We would be just about to sleep, and they would come into our room. Don't you think that I need to take my swimmies if we go, just in case there's a... Go to bed! Go to bed! Any of you got children, you understand that question. What are we going to eat when we get there? Really? Come on. Food. Let's just leave it at that. We're going to... But what are we... What time are we going to leave? I'll go ahead tomorrow and pack my bag. It's 3 weeks away. What are you thinking? You are so missing the point. And you know what we do now? We tell them we're going on vacation when we get in the car. Sometimes that's the way God does us. Get in the car, shut the door, turn the ignition on. Oh yeah, by the way, we're going for a road trip. What? What? Listen to me. Be obedient. Just trust God. It's a road trip. Just hang on. I promise you, you'll enjoy the final destination. Not only that, but listen. Chapter 7 and verse 11 through 16, for the sake of time, I won't read them, write it down. You can look at it, and I've already glanced across that, and that is this. Noah and his family was blessed because of Noah's faithfulness. I don't know about you, but I want to live in such a way that God does not just bless me, but that God looks down and He blesses my wife and my children because of my life. And one of these days, if God blesses me with grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great, let's just stop there. I mean, I'm old enough the way that it is, but that's the kind of life that I want to live. That's what I want. You can't tell me today that as I sat with Will Graham, and he said to me personally, he said, Matthew, you would never know the blessing that has been poured out upon my life because I am the grandson of Billy Graham. That's favor. That's blessing because of faithfulness. This morning, I want to ask you a real question. I want you to think about this. Pray you'll hear this. Who will be blessed tomorrow because of your faithfulness to the Father? That's tough. Let me ask you this. Will your children, you got children, listen, will your children be blessed because you were sold out to Jesus Christ? Man, there may be a real gut feeling that comes to you when we think about that. But let me tell you something today. Listen to me. It's never too late to start that. Right now. Right now. Say, man, I've not been what I ought to be. Noah would say, neither was I. But I want you to know, we're going to read the rest of the story in just a minute. It's not about where you are. It's about where you're allowing God to take you. It's not about what you've been through. It's about where you're going. It's about your faithfulness. He was obedient and he was faithful. Listen, Noah and his family was blessed because of his faithfulness. If you would turn over Genesis chapter number 9, the end of that chapter. Listen to what the Bible says. Verse 28-29, and Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the days of Noah were 950 years. Listen, and he died. And he died. One of these days, those words will be said about everyone in this room. And they died. And they died. We were born to die. We live and we will draw our last breath. God bless Billy Graham with 99 years. That's amazing, isn't it? I was praying God give him 100, but I promise you he wouldn't trade that 1 year for nothing right now. I can give you that promise. This morning, let me ask you this question. What will be said of you when they say, and they died? You say, boy, that's a positive note to end on, isn't it? I can't imagine. Can you imagine what, wasn't it Tuesday? I believe it was Tuesday. I was in a meeting and all of a sudden my phone dinged and I looked and it said, Billy Graham has died. And I thought, they're lying. Man, what a great day. What a day. Can you imagine that? Listen, even though the hearts of the family are saddened, but he is reunited with his bride. He is reunited with those that have gone on before him. I'll never forget as we were, I believe it was our launch service. Will was talking about it, and here's what he said. He said he came in one day and Billy said, I'm getting a little worried. I'm living a little longer than I anticipated living. He said, why are you worried about that? Here's what he said. He said, I'm afraid that all those that have gone on before me, Cliff Barrows and all those that have gone on before me, Ruth and all those that have gone on, I'm worried. And they were, he said, why? Why are you worried? He said, can you imagine them sitting around in glory not knowing what's going on down in this world? Can you imagine them maybe sitting around the table saying, of all people, I would have thought Billy Graham made it. You know, but he didn't. Where's he at? He couldn't have lived 99 years. I mean, can you imagine that coming out of his mouth? But let me tell you something. Can you imagine the millions that greeted him when he stepped foot in glory? Can you imagine? I just think about the impact that he had in his life. But listen, he would say to you, and he died. But I've got good news for you that it was more than just dying. It was that he lived while he was here. He brought honor and glory to the Son of God. He brought honor and glory to the man that he had poured his life out into and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ every day, every moment. Listen, they would interview him about cereal and he would tell them about Jesus. They would interview him about the weather and he would talk to them about Jesus. There was no question who his master was. His name was Jesus. He was a man that was sold out to the master, Jesus Christ. Hear me today. What we need in our worlds today is not children that are waiting for the rain to stop, but are willing to say, it doesn't matter what the climate is, I'm moving forward for the honor and the glory of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, that's what we need. Listen to me. Here's the key. Noah walked with God. My prayer for me and my prayer for you is this, that when they say they have died, the only way we'll make an impact is if they follow up that statement by making this one. And they walked with God. Think about this. You're known by the company you keep. You're known by the company you keep. Are you walking with God? If this were your day, if this were your funeral, if this were your burial, if this were your day, here's my question. What would be written about your life? Believer, those of you that are here that are children of God, let me just say to you, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want you to know that no matter how close you are, you can get a little closer. It's always a little closer. I believe that's what Billy Graham did every day. Let me just get just a little bit closer. This morning, if you're a child of God, I've got good news for you. You can get just a little bit closer. You may be able to listen. You may be able to make up a lot of ground. You can get a lot closer. I don't know where you are, but here's the beauty. God does. But I'm asking you today, would you just get a little bit closer? This morning, let me say to you as well, if you're an unbeliever, if you're lost, you don't know what in the world it is that I'm talking about, you don't know what it is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there's a great gulf that is fixed between you and heaven. And the only way that you'll ever cross that great gulf is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me simplify that. It is by placing your faith and your trust, asking for the forgiveness of your sins to a heavenly Father. And the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What's that mean? You messed up? Let me tell you somebody that can clean it up. You've fallen short? Let me introduce you somebody that will pick you up, put you on your feet to stay. This morning, I ask you, as we look at the principles of Noah, I want to ask you, would your testimony say they walked with God? Let's pray. Father, I come to you today and I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you that we can walk with God. Father, I thank you that we can be challenged to be more like Christ. Lord, I thank you for the beauty that you desire a walk with us, because you created the way that we could walk with you. Lord, let us humble ourselves here this morning. Lord, for those that are here that are children of God, and I ask that, Lord, if they need a closer walk with you, I pray that even during this song, this time of invitation where we have the opportunity to come and just simply humble ourselves and seek your face, God, that even children of God would come to this altar and simply say, Lord, I want that. I want that, God. I want that more every day. Help us to have less of us and more of you in our lives. God, in this place, there may be those that do not know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that in that simple way, Father, they would trust you today. They would realize they can't get to heaven without you. They're hopeless without you. Father, today I pray that if there's someone here that needs to know Jesus, they'd walk this aisle. I would be glad to show them. There are people here that would be glad to show them how they can know Jesus. This is too important business to mess around with. Let today be the day of your salvation. That is my prayer for a lost world. Someone that sits here today. Lord, you know what needs to happen. Lord, we just simply say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. We are your people, sheep of your pasture. And we ask, during this time of invitation, have your will and your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.